Christians and the men didn't. Families would often say, if you want to be a Christian, that's okay, but you're not going to be part of this family. So they were cut off. So many women didn't have any food to eat. Okay? And when we become Christians today, it's usually pretty easy. But for some people, it's not easy. And some people say, you can be a Christian if you want. The husband will say, but I'm not going to put up with that in my family. So when I was a boy, I had a friend, and his grandfather had a wife, the husband and wife, and the mother became a Christian. They had 7 children.
Mm.
And the grandfather said, you and the children can be Christians if you want, but not me. And the father left the mother with 7 children to look after. He abandoned the family. Well, that wasn't easy. What are you going to do? What was she going to do for breakfast and lunch for 8 mouths? And so the same thing happened in the days of the apostles. So there were 2 kinds of Jewish widows. There were Jewish widows who were Jews, or they were Christian widows who were Jews, but then there were Christian widows who were Gentiles. And the problem was that there were many of these, and the church basically said, there's favoritism in the church. And the Jewish widows are getting more to eat than the Gentile widows. So, something's very, very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What are you going to do about that? And it's true in churches, oftentimes problems arise. Not everybody's treated the way they should be. Sometimes even in your own family. One brother will say, listen, my sister always gets the good things. I never get anything. Okay? So this was in the church. All right. So next reader, please.
My question is, they were also, they were inclusive in many ways that the Christian are welcome to the Judeo church.
That's right. Yeah, they were inclusive. The Jews, the Gentiles were welcomed in, but they felt that they were second-class citizens.
What, the Gentiles? I see.
Yeah, the Gentile Christians felt that they were second-class. So that was...
But they were not excluded.
Pardon me?
They were not excluded.
They were not excluded, no. But they felt that they were being excluded. They felt it wasn't fair. I've got to tell you about that family where the father left the mother with the 7 children. He said, you're on your own. So the question is, whatever became of those 7 children? And the answer is, my friend was one of the grandchildren. He was and still is a very outstanding man. But of those 7 children, 1 became a judge, very famous judge in Vancouver. And another became a very senior civil servant. And he actually was one of the men who wrote the Income Tax Act many years ago. Very, very senior. Another became a very successful businessman. So here was this poor woman. She had 7 children and no husband, all because she trusted the Savior. But the Savior came into the family and did marvelous things for that family. And so there are many, many of those 7 children all became outstanding Christians. Many of their grandchildren became outstanding Christians. God did a wonderful work, but it was hard. Okay, so verse 2, please. Who's going to do verse 2?
So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it could not be right for us to neglect the mystery of the word of God in order to wait on tables.
All right, so the apostles got together, Peter and John and the other people. They all got together. And they said, now listen, we've got to take care of this, but our job is to preach and to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, listen, you select other people who can do that. So just to remind you that the responsibility at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel, the responsibility of those who teach is to teach. And so the rest of us say, okay, we're going to try to help them so that they can spend more time teaching. Okay? And many of you women are very, very good at that. And your help is much appreciated. And many of you men are helping more and more. And that's very, very good. So verse 3 then. Vivian, you carry on, please.
Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them.
All right, that's verse 3. So what they said is, now you choose out 7 men who can be responsible for getting the food to all these people.
Mm.
So you think from your brain, what kind of people would you choose to give, make sure that the food was being distributed in the right way? What kind of people could you think of to do that job?
Good people.
Wisdom.
Okay.
Wisdom.
All right. So the answer is good people, people with wisdom. Many people would say you need a good accountant, because a good accountant can put the names down. He'll keep a record of who gets what, and we need a good accountant to do the job. And other people will say we need a good manager.
Manager.
If you have a good manager, he can do it. But these people say you need a good man with wisdom. You need a good man. What's the words here? Full of the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more important in a church to have people, men of God with wisdom and the Holy Spirit, than to have men of God who are good managers. That's more important, even in a building like this, to have people who are full of the Spirit of God than good engineers.
Mm-hmm.
Engineers are good, and accountants are good, and lawyers are good, and so on. But what's most important to do the work of God is to be full of the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned in our earlier meeting this morning, some of you were able to be there, that in the earlier meeting we learned that... what did we learn? I forgot all of a sudden. Yes, we learned that the Ephesian people were doing all kinds of things, but they just had forgotten to love. They didn't love the Lord the way they should, and they didn't love the people the way they should. And so more important than physical ability or mental ability is spiritual ability. These men had to be full of the Spirit and the wisdom of God. Okay, so that's what they said. We're going to check. We're going to get 7 men to do this. All right. So, Helen, you go on. I got the right name. Carry on.
And will give us potential to pray for prayer and ministry of the word.
All right. So the apostles said, we're going to spend our time praying. We're going to spend our time in the ministry of the Word of God. You other fellows, you look after this important work of making sure that the people get the right amount of food. All right, so Wayne, you are on for verse 5.
Okay. This word plays the whole man. They choose...
Stephen.
Is Stephen a man full of the faith and full of the Holy Spirit? The
Procurus.
Procurus.
Nicanor. Demon. Parmenas.
Nicanor.
From Antioch. Yeah, well, that's right. Keep going.
That's it.
Yeah, okay. All right, so 7 names. And they're not all simple names. They're all difficult names to pronounce.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the list again. There was Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch. Okay, so seven men. What do we know about them? They were men full of wisdom, full of the Spirit of God. They were all God's chosen men.
Mm-hmm.
So the most important thing then in all of our lives is to be right with God, to get the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God, and then we can do the work of God.
Yes.
Even if it's just handing out food.
Yeah.
You want to, everything we do is from the Spirit of God.
What is this food or daily distribution that they're talking about? I mean, to what degree do they depend on?
Well, we don't know the degree. And I would think that probably some widows would be totally destitute. Others widows would say, well, listen, I've still got some money. I don't need as much as this other woman, but I need something. So somehow there had to be a lot of wisdom here. And it wasn't an easy job. They chose seven men to do it because there could be no accusation of favoritism. And some might even have family members. So you might say, well, my sister, she needs more than all the other people because she's my sister, so she gets more. So there would have to be much wisdom to make sure that favoritism wasn't shown, to make sure that there was equality, humility, and love along with it. And how much each one got, that was the difficult problem.
It seems to me that during those days, the church has a totally different role than today. What is the Bible, more or less?
Yes, but even today, there are situations like that where people fall into difficult circumstances. And so very often, individuals in the church will look over at a friend and say, my friend's got some needs. And they will give them $100 or an extra lunch or a whole lot more than $100. Other cases, there will be some person who the whole assembly knows has got a problem. And so the congregation will give. Sometimes Gary Thomas hasn't been reading many financial statements recently, but we will soon. Oftentimes when the explanation of where monies go, we will have a little line that says, to a needy saint. And those monies will go to somebody, we don't tell anybody who it's to. The oversight will know, but nobody else will know. But they've got a need, and so the monies will be given. Missionaries today often get a lot of money from Christians. So it's true, we have more of a welfare society today, and the government gives a lot of funds. But where there is a specific need, the Christians are called upon to give to that need. So we try to keep our eyes open. We say, so-and-so, there's a need there. And so sometimes we just slip a little money, or we say, listen, we're going to give on a regular basis to help that person out. That's the way it should be, isn't it? In a family.
Yes.
What do you do if your sister or your son or your mother needs a little bit of extra money?
Mm-hmm.
You say, don't worry, Dad. I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we do the same thing in the Christian family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very encouraging. There was a dear widow woman, and I won't give you details, but she was basically a forgotten woman. And I read a letter from her that she sent to others, but I read the letter. She said, you know, I'm this old widow woman. She's over 80 years old. And she said, somebody sent me $5,000. They didn't tell anybody who they were. It came anonymously, but it was $5,000. This dear widow woman, she just was overflowing with thankfulness. And I happened to know her a little bit. And she was the kind of woman who would need that. She would use it to help her grandchildren. She would probably use it to buy a new dress or maybe even fix her car. And she said, how gracious it was. Somebody saw my need and gave me $5,000. So these kinds of needs are in the world today.
Hmm.
We just got to keep our eyes open. And when we got a little bit in our pocket and they don't have much in their pocket, we say, well, listen, here's something from my pocket for your pocket. All right. So who did they choose? They chose these seven men. Philip. Philip is a name of a Jewish person. Prochorus. That's a strange name. It's probably a Greek name. Nicanor would probably be a Greek name too. Timon, I don't know who that one is. Parmenas, I'm not even sure what his name is. Nicholas from Antioch. So Stephen and Philip, they were definitely Jewish. A couple of the others would be definitely non-Jewish Christians. So they had this mixture coming in from very other places. And then lastly was this man Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism.
Mm.
So Andy's question is, why would he be a convert to Judaism? Wasn't he a convert to Jesus?
Mm.
Surely he should have been a Christian. Okay? And the answer is, he was a Christian. Okay? But before he was a Christian, he was a convert to Judaism. And before that, he was from Antioch, which was a Gentile city. Okay? So we don't know which Antioch it was. There were two or three Antiochs. There had been a very famous Roman general whose name was Antiochus. And he liked to go around naming cities after himself. So there was Antioch in Seleucia, I believe. There was Antioch in Pisidia. And there were probably a couple of other Antiochs around. This particular man, Nicholas, then, he would have been a Gentile from Antioch. And he heard about Judaism, and he decided he was going to become a Jew. And so he became a Jew, a convert to Judaism, and then he heard about Jesus. And so he said, all right, I'm going to be a Christian. So he had two big qualifications here. He was himself a Gentile, but he also was a convert to Judaism. So he knew both sides. Okay? So when they had to determine where the money should go, he said, I'm sympathetic with the Gentile people, but I'm also sympathetic with the Jewish people, and we're all Christians. So he was there almost, if you like, as a peacemaker. So that would be his name. He would have credentials from Judaism, credentials from the Gentile world. All right, the next verse then, verse 6. So, Fiona, can you give us verse 6, please?
Whom they said before the
apostles, yeah.
When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them.
Very good. All right. So after these seven men had been chosen, and before they went to work, the apostles said, now you've got an important job to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
So they prayed for them, and they actually laid their hands on them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we sang something about laying on of hands this morning. What did we sing? I saw the line. Help me. There was a line in something we sang that had laying hands laid on. Let's see if I can find it. Learning to lean. That's what we sang. Learning to lean. So in the Old Testament, when people sinned, they used to bring a sheep or a bullock or a goat. And they would bring it to the priest. And the priest would say to him, now listen, You say what was wrong. You tell us what you want about this. And then the priest would say, all right, you lay your hands on the head of that animal. You put your hand on the head of that animal, and then you confess your sins on that animal. So the man would say, put his hand on, he'd say, you know, I stole some money from my neighbor, and I shouldn't have done that, and I'm very, very sorry. So he would put his hands on the head of the animal, and then he would kill the animal as an offering to God, rather than having God kill himself. So he put his hands on the other person, and by putting the hands on the other person, you are transferring part of yourself to that other person. If it's your sin, you put your hands by faith on the Lord Jesus and you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I did that wrong. I'm putting my hands on you, and you can then bear the responsibility for my sin. All right? We sang the little hymn, Learning to Lean. And the word in the Old Testament for putting on hands actually means to lean on. It isn't just set your hand on. You lean on.
Okay.
It's a, like, it's a form of blessing, but it's a form of putting the responsibility on. Okay, so if you were a sinner, you would lean on the sacrifice and say, I'm leaving my sin on the sacrifice. But if you were praying and you said, Lord, I would like your help, and I'm not just going to ask you for help, I'm going to lean on you for help. Okay? So sometimes when I was a little boy, I would do that with my daddy. And I would say, Daddy, I've got a problem. Could you help me? And he would say, yes, Harold, I will help you. But when I was really afraid, I'd lean on him. I'd hang on to his leg. And I would say, I'm not letting go. You got to help me. Okay? So when we're in real need, we lean on the sacrifice. Now that's what you have here in this story. These seven men were going to do the work, but the apostles put their hands on them, leaned on them, and said, listen, we are transferring our responsibility to you. And those men had to say, you're leaning on us, you're depending on us, so we're going to make sure we do a good job. Because we're doing the job not just for the widows. And we're doing the job not just for the church. And we're doing it not just for God, we're doing it for you as the servants, the agents of God. So they put their hands on them to say, You are responsible for us. You're responsible to God. You're responsible to us. You're responsible to the widows. You have got to do the work. So they put their hands on them so that everybody knew that these seven were the agents of the apostles. Now that was good from the other point of view too, because when the seven made a decision, some of the widows might say, that's not fair. I didn't get enough. Okay? And these seven would say, listen, we made the decision with the full authority of the apostles, Peter and James and John. They gave us the authority. And if you don't think it's fair, you've got to go to Peter and say, Peter, it was wrong. Oh, they say, oh, I forget it. Okay? So when the hands were laid on them, it was laying on authority and responsibility. Now, that's the way we serve God, isn't it? When God says to us, you've got a job to do, we say, all right, I'm going to take this as from the Lord. I'm going to take this as from the church, and I am going to do what is right. And when somebody says to you, you didn't do a very good job, you're going to say, well, you take that up with the boss. He asked me to do it. Okay, now, I got to tell you about myself. I often, especially when I was younger, was invited to preach. And I thought, who am I to preach? I don't know what to say. There's all these good men. They know the Bible better than me. Why should I preach? And I used to become very, very fearful. I still do. And then I would say to myself, you know, it's really not that bad, because I'm preaching because Mr. So-and-so asked me to. And if you don't like what I say, it's his fault. He shouldn't have asked me if I was going to say the wrong thing. So as a younger man, I took encouragement and I said, if I've really done it wrong, you can blame the other man. He asked me to do it. So that's a good way to go. In the Christian life, we are responsible to God. We're also responsible to those people who ask us to do things. We do it well for God, and we do it well for them. But if there's a big problem, I sometimes say, go see him. He's the boss. He asked me to do it. You don't like why I do it? Go see him. Okay? And that makes you very much more comfortable. All right, how are we doing for time now? We're at the end of our time. Any questions
so,
before they come down?
Like now, don't need to touch your hand on somebody's head.
We don't practice laying on hands very often. It's not necessary. Sometimes it'll be done. If a missionary is going to leave us, sometimes the assembly will put their hands on him just as a sign that we are with him. It isn't necessary. It's not done very often. But if it were to be done, it probably wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah. That is my question. Okay. Yeah, because I saw somebody once heal somebody.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. If you put hands on them, if you were to put your hands on them as something special, that would be wrong. Okay, so here's a man who is a big preacher. Some people would go and say, listen, you're a big preacher. Would you put your hands on me because you're special?
Mm-hmm.
That would be wrong. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sally, you got something to add.
No, I just to clarify, I think you meant health, right? Heal something.
Yeah, yeah.
Healing, like that.
Yes,
healing.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, so if it's a healing thing, the Bible talks about what we call faith healing. Mm. Sometimes people are healed when the doctors can't heal them.
Mm-hmm.
They're healed because of prayer. So the Bible talks about faith healing, but it doesn't talk about faith healers.
Oh.
And that's the big distinction. Mm-hmm. If I were to say to you, I'm a faith healer. If I put my hands on you, you'll be healed. Then you're looking to me for healing. I can't do that. So the Bible doesn't talk about faith healers, but it does talk about people who pray that other people will be healed. There aren't faith healers today. There is faith healing. Yes, ma'am.
they have faith healers, right?
There are?
Fake. Fake. Sorry, my teeth. scam. They scam.
There are people who say they are faith healers.
And they scam.
And they are often not, what's the word I want? They are often deceivers.
They're not true.
They're not true.
Pardon me? Not authentic.
Not authentic.
I want to kind of confirm Nicole's question.
Okay.
这个现在还用吗？
She said, 哦，还用。
就现在还需要这样做吗？
But people still, proclaim in the name of God using this gesture.
Yes, they do.
Oh.
But that is not say that it's right.
哦，他说这不一定是对的。
Many people today will say that, but they're not true when they say it. They're professing, they're pretending to have more power than they really have. In all the Bible, there were true prophets and false prophets. And today, there are people who preach the truth, and there are people who say things that aren't true. And the only way you're going to know which is for you to read the Bible yourself. Okay? But beware of people who say, I have the power to answer your prayers. I have the power to heal. I'll lay my hands on you. In the old days, some people used to say, listen to the radio. And they would say, put your hands on the radio and you'll be healed. No, that's not it. You trust the Lord Jesus and he will heal you if he chooses to. And if he doesn't choose to, you'll still be sick. Like what happened with Paul. Paul said, Lord, would you please heal me? And the Lord said, no, I've got something better for you. Paul said, okay. So we can't demand of God anything. All right, we probably should stop because a lot of the others have stopped. We'll pray. If you've got more questions, we'll talk more. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us. We thank you. We thank you for the fact that you care about us. And you even cared about the widows in those days. It was a big deal, Lord. And many of them would have been hungry, maybe even starving, had the Christians not cared for them. We thank you that you did. And we pray, Lord, that in our day, we will look out for those who have physical needs, and we will go out of our way to help and to love them too. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, help us to learn that from this passage. Mm-hmm. And we just pray that we will love one another in every way we can.
Amen.
We ask your blessing on us then and give thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Very, very.